Faith is the critical issue of the Christian life. In fact, God says that without faith, it is impossible. It is not possible to please Him. It is by faith that repentant sinners come to God and are saved. And it is by faith that Christians are to live. What does God say? In fact, He says it several times. The just shall live by faith. Whitaker Chambers wrote this in a book entitled Witness. A witness is a man whose life and faith are so completely one that when the challenge comes to step out and testify for his faith, he does so disregarding all risks, accepting all consequences. True faith is so confident of the Lord, so confident of who he is, his power, his wisdom, his love, that it accepts the risks, it accepts the challenges, it accepts the obstacles of obedience, and sees them as really mere stepping stones to the accomplishment of God's purposes, his plan, and his will, and his glory. A word of caution regarding the nature of faith. Faith is not the same as presumption. Faith is not, for example, jumping out of a 10-story window, confident that an angel of the Lord will bear us up. Faith is not recklessness, because somehow the Spirit led me. Rather, biblical faith is simple confidence in God, in His Word, His promises, His commandments, and fundamentally His love for us. And so directing our decisions, our life, our attitudes accordingly. So with confidence in God, faith obeys. And then faith rests in the Lord for the consequences, whatever those consequences might be. Faith does not demand that God act in certain ways. Instead, what faith does is surrender to God's ways. Faith is not giving directions to God in what we want Him to do and trusting that He will do it. Faith is bowing to God's will and yielding to His commands and then accepting the results, whatever they might be, as good and as perfect and as right. This is the kind of faith that Moses had. He was so confident of God, he was so confident of God's word, that he disregarded all risks to obey and to serve him. Our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, particularly verses 28 and 29. Living in the palace of Egypt, Moses came to understand that he had a special calling from God to rescue the Israelites from bondage. Now the problem arose when he sought to accomplish that in his own strength, in his own ways. And the result, as always, was failure. And so he fled Egypt, fearing for his life, we're told. And he ended up in the wilderness. He ended up in the wilderness of Midian, watching over sheep. Well, so much for being the great deliverer of Israel. So much for all his education and political influence and riches that he enjoyed in the palace. So much for 40 years of preparation to be the leader of Israel. Watching sheep in the wilderness of Midian. Well, yes, but God had not finished with Moses yet. And the Lord had some lessons that Moses needed to learn. Lessons of humility. Lessons of faith that God taught him for 40 years. Taking care of sheep in the wilderness. Moses seemed to have learned those lessons. And when the time came, and by the way, he's about 80 years old now. School is done, finally. At God's direction, he returned to Egypt. And there he confronted Pharaoh, and in faith and in confidence in God, Moses asked for the release of the Israelites from bondage. Think for a moment about the task that God has assigned to Moses. Israel was a large group of people, probably in the neighborhood of 2 million by the numbers that are given to us in Exodus. So they were large, they were unruly, they were undisciplined, they were unorganized. And that is not to say that included in this group was a large number of those that were elderly and feeble and helpless children and cattle and livestock that they had. And God says to Moses, I want you to lead these people. Egypt was ruled by one of the most powerful kings in that period of time. He was one who would fiercely, as we see in the account in Exodus, fiercely resist the loss of the Hebrew slaves. And Israel, in contrast to Egypt, Israel had no money. They couldn't finance the effort. They had no army to resist the Egyptians. They had no worldly friends that they could rely upon, no influence in the world. If there were ever a task that had failure written all over it, that looked like disaster before it even started, this was it. Humanly speaking, it was a foolish and it was a helpless endeavor that God says to Moses, this is what I want you to do. But that was the task that Moses, in faith, gave himself to. And with confidence, this time not in himself and his training and his abilities, but in the living God, Moses obeyed. Verse 28 states that by faith, Moses kept the Passover. Well, you will recall that God has struck Egypt with a number of plagues, 9 to be exact. Demonstrations of Israel's God's power and the impotency of the gods of Egypt. Negotiations about the release of Israel had been on and off. Mostly off. And now Moses is told by God to keep a Passover. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Now, all the other plagues have failed. Well, they failed in the sense that Israel is still in bondage. Plague after plague, disaster after disaster for Egypt, and nothing has changed. And Moses is told by God, well, there's going to be one more. And this is what I want you to do. The death angel is going to come. Literally, that death angel is the destroyer. The death angel is going to come throughout all of Egypt, killing the firstborn of every household, unless a lamb has been sacrificed and the blood of that lamb sprinkled upon the doorposts of the house. And then the destroyer will pass over without harm. So what did Moses do when the Lord told him these things? The scripture says that by faith he obeyed. He had confidence in the word and the promises of God. He believed that this novel plan that would be the means of Israel's protection and deliverance from bondage, even though experience would raise some questions and doubts in his mind. By faith, he obeyed and he kept the Passover. And he directed the Israelites to do what the Lord had commanded. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. You know, things seem so simple and clear in hindsight, don't they? But Moses believed God and acted to lead the people to obey before God had done anything. Faith is not hindsight. Faith is spiritual foresight. It is understanding what God is promising to do and commanding to do, and then trusting him to do all that he promises. In fact, as we read on, Exodus 12, 25, we notice Moses' foresight, his faith. He says, it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised. Then also you shall keep this service, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. You see, Moses does not just believe that God is going to help Israel now. He believes that God is going to keep all of his promises and down in the years to come do all that he has promised as far as Canaan and restoration of the land of promise. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. He believed God. And so in faith, the blood was sprinkled on the doorposts. And the Egyptians observed all that was going on as the Israelites killed these lambs and daubed this blood on the doors of their houses. And they might have wagged their heads and thought, what are the Israelites doing now? What a crazy people. And when the Israelite was asked why he was doing such a thing, the Hebrew father could give no logical explanation. There was no scientific reason for doing this. There was no cause and effect. Just God commanded us to do it. And in faith, we're doing it. That's exactly the attitude of faith that God's people are to have. Faith does the exceptional. It does the unaccepted. It does the foolish from the world standpoint because God commands it. You see, there's no scientific explanation for the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule. Word-centered worship, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world is foolishness. But it is God's ordained method, and so in obedience we do it. It makes maybe no sense. Surely, media presentations today are far more effective. And the world mocks and ridicules as foolish the things of God and of His Word. But God commands it, and the people of faith obey. The angel of death came as promised, and those with blood on the doorposts were spared. But the firstborn son died in every Egyptian home, even in the palace. All of this is a picture of Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. He is our Passover lamb. The Lamb of God slain, the scripture tells us, before the foundation of the world for the people of God. It is His blood that is sprinkled upon the mercy seat in heaven. It is His blood that washes and cleanses from sin the hearts of repentant sinners. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, Paul says to the Corinthians, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. If Israel had such a marvelous redemption through a lamb, how much greater salvation shall we find in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? There can be no life of faith until there is saving faith in the Lamb, until the blood of the Lamb is sprinkled upon our hearts and cleansed us from our sin. I would ask this morning, is your faith resting upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross? If not, like the Egyptians, your soul is in grave danger. And not just a physical death, but of eternal death. Faith also involves fear of God. This is a concept that is totally foreign in our culture today. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses is motivated, we're told, to some degree, by the promised judgment upon those who did not obey. And so he pushed the Israelites to heed the warning and kill the Passover lamb, to sprinkle the blood upon the doors of their homes, so that they might escape the destroyer who God says is coming. Faith not only believes in the joys and the promised blessings of God, faith understands that there is punishment as well for disobedience? Notice that if even the covenant people of God did not obey this command, their firstborn would die. Disobedience to God has consequences. There are spiritual consequences. There are eternal consequences for sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Someday we will all stand before a holy God and give an account for all that we have done. Those who are clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ will be justified before Him and experience the joy of heaven. But those who are not in Christ will be condemned and punished and spend an eternity in hell. There are spiritual and eternal consequences for sin, but we also need to understand that there are natural consequences for sin. And these come regardless of our relationship to God, be we covenant people or not, be we in Christ or not. For example, a drunken driver is in an accident and kills another person. That driver is going to spend time in jail, whether he is saved or unsaved, whether a covenant believer or an unbeliever. There are natural consequences to our actions and to our sins in this life that even though we are in Christ and justified before God, we have to face. Sin has consequences in this life as well as in eternity. Faith believes the warnings of God as well as His promises, and so seeks to obey Him. Verse 29 continues, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." So after the Passover angel goes through the land, the Egyptians had finally had enough. And they couldn't get rid of Israel fast enough. They even forced them, we're told, they forced the Hebrews to take gold and silver and cattle and just leave. But God tells Moses that He's not done with the Egyptians yet. Exodus 14, verse 1. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. God is setting a trap. And He makes it appear to Pharaoh as though the Israelites don't have a clue where they're going. They've gotten themselves in a spot between the Red Sea and the mountains. They're trapped. And I'm going to pounce. So Exodus continues, "It was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness." God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he quickly changed his mind and his attitude, and he pursues Israel. Now, what about Israel? They've seen the mighty hand of God. They've seen 10 plagues, tremendous miracles, fantastic displays of God's glory and of His power and of His might. And they have come out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. What faith they must have had at this point. Well, not yet. It was weak faith. In fact, they see what's happening and they panic. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So what did Moses do? Moses' faith was firm. He had absolute confidence in God, and he drives them on. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So at Moses' insistence, Israel goes into the Red Sea on dry land. It must have been a tremendous canyon of water. It must have been a fearful thing to do. Yet they did it. Israel, weak in faith, yet they trusted God, if not perfectly, they trusted God enough to obey Him and walk into the Red Sea. Perhaps you have been to the Garrison Dam. Maybe you've been at the bottom of the spillway and looked up 200 feet to the top of the dam. I don't know about you, but I did that, or fairly close. It wasn't clear at the bottom, but you look up and you have a sense of awe at the immensity of it and of your own smallness and a little bit of fear. Now imagine standing there and the earthen dam is removed, just 200 feet of water. And think of the faith of the Israelites as they walk down through a valley, at least that tall. In fact, in that area of the Red Sea, it's down to 600 feet deep. And there's water on both sides. And in faith, they walk down into that valley and cross the Red Sea. The Israelites had weak and fickle faith. But Hebrews is right when it says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. What went through their minds? What fears did they suppress? Maybe lots of them. And yet they walked through that canyon of water, trusting God to keep them secure. Sometimes people think that faith is a leap into the dark. It's believing in the impossible. It's believing in the unreasonable. But that's not biblical faith. Faith often involves the uncertain and the unknown and even risk at times, but it does not mean doing the irrational. It does not mean doing the illogical. Faith is rooted rather in a firm confidence in God. a firm faith in who God is and His omniscience, His omnipotence, that He knows what He is doing and He is able to do anything He wills to do. He is to be trusted. His word is truth. And His commandments are right and good. And so faith, confident in God, moves ahead in obedience to Him, resting in His loving providence. And doing just that, the Israelites passed safely through the Red Sea. And the Egyptians thought that they could do so as well. And in their feverish frenzy to thwart God and to injure the people of God, the Egyptian army pursued Israel. And they mistakenly thought that they could go wherever Israel went. But they were wrong. And they were drowned. Apparently, even Pharaoh. Exodus 14 tells us, verse 26, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen.' And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. When the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained." And what to Israel, by faith, was a means or a way of life, the way of deliverance from the enemy, was to the Egyptians the way of death. And that is the gospel. The gospel is a divider. Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me." Paul put it this way to the Corinthians. He said, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life." Who is sufficient of these things? When Simeon met the infant Jesus and Mary, his mother, at the temple, Simeon prophesied, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." To those who come to Jesus Christ in faith, He is the source of life. But to those who reject Him, He brings judgment and He brings death. Moses had faith in the Lord. He believed in the invisible God. He had faith to trust Him and to obey Him and to serve Him, no matter how difficult the obstacles before him. It is said that before every major battle, Napoleon would stand alone in his tent, and he would send and have the commanders come in to him one by one. When they would come in, Napoleon would not say a single word to them. He would just look them in the eyes and shake their hands and send them out. And they would go out. They would go out prepared to battle and to die for the general that they loved. That's something like it was with Moses and the Lord. Moses knew God. Moses met with God face to face and communed and fellowshiped with Him and loved Him, so that God, in defending him in Numbers, says, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And because Moses knew God, because Moses loved God, Moses had confidence in him. And when the Lord sent him from his presence to do the hardest of tasks, to face death itself, Moses went out ready to serve and even to die for the Lord whom he loved. Our failure of faith, our failure to obey, our failure to serve the Lord is often due to the fact that we do not really know him. We're kind of like Israel. Israel knew about God, knew about his work, but had no fellowship with him, no personal relationship with him. Israel did not know him. And so unlike Moses, who knew God and trusted God's will and God's plans, when the attacks of Satan came, Israel was filled with fear. They doubted. They struggled to trust God and had to be pushed toward obedience. The secret to serving God with faith is to face God before we face life. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." Isaiah said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Christian, do you get so busy? So busy living your life, so busy doing the urgent things, the necessary things, the important things. Sometimes even doing the things of God, that you do not take the time to fellowship with God face to face like Moses, to listen to him speak to you through his word, to come to love him and to trust him and to depend upon him. So that when the trials of life come, you trust him because you know him. It's when you know that the Lord is God and you know him and fellowship with him face to face that, like Moses, you will have the faith to trust him with your life, faith to serve him, faith to obey him in whatever he asks you to do. Shall we pray?